You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Krung Bin and Leon Bridges. Here's an interview we did a couple of weeks ago with DJ, the drummer from Krung Bin, playing Spark Arena in December. How awesome is that?
Kia ora, we are talking to DJ, drummer from Krung Bin. He's in Texas right now. Houston, correct?
Yes.
Is Houston your home base?
Houston is home. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised here, and I'm still here, likely not going anywhere.
Do you guys still get together and record in Houston, Texas? Is that where all the recorded magic happens?
The band styles.
So, yeah, there's two locations for our recording. So all the Krung Bin stuff happens in the barn, which is in Burton, Texas. It's approximately halfway between Houston and Austin. Mm-hmm. And all of the Leon stuff that we did for Texas Sun and Texas Moon was recorded here in Houston at our engineer studio.
Right, something a bit more. You tracked all the instruments there as well, or just Leon's vocals?
All of the instruments were tracked there, the vocals, everything.
Yeah, did you do it the band's sort of styles, just all in one kind of hit as much as possible, or was it overdubbed?
Yeah, a lot of it was done just all in one. So the funny thing is, the first single from this particular release, B-side, which was recorded back in the Texas Sun sessions, that was done with all four of us in the room together. Of course, when we played through it as a band, Leon just kind of was humming melodies and just, you know, words here and there. And if you listen closely within that, you can hear some of that still coming through the drum mics.
Far out.
And the final recording.
What was the experience like of those first few sessions? Did you experience some special magic?
I mean, anytime Leon enters the room, it's magic. He's one of those artists that has this unique, timeless voice. There are very few people that when you hear them sing, you automatically know, oh, that's that person. And Leon has one of those unique voices. So, just anytime he starts to sing, it's Leon, and it just feels special.
Certainly,
like, he seems to pick up a guitar and sing the alphabet, and it sounds amazing.
He seems to embody a very vintage spirit, doesn't he?
He does. I grew up hearing that a lot when I was young too, but Leon definitely has what they call old soul.
Mm-hmm.
Did working with a vocalist like that give you or give Krung Bin the courage to start featuring more vocals on your tracks?
Is Leon Bridges the new singer of Krung Bin?
No, the Krung Bin of Leon Bridges is its own unique thing, and it lives its own little world. It's really cool.
Sweet.
That we were able to branch out and experiment with the vocalists on a project that's been so amazing and really good to us. But did it give us the courage? No, we're still terrified of singing.
I feel
no, but have you got people just banging down the door now? I feel like you'd probably have a few emails and DMs sliding all around the place,
asking us to sing.
Yeah, like Cher's like, "Fuck yeah, I'm back, baby." What are you doing?
No, it's really not something that that we seek to do ever.
How did it happen then?
Vocals as an approach for us on records when we first started out, it was just it's just from a textural standpoint. So, you know, oohs and ahs here and there, it's just creates another texture sonically on a record. And I think on this time around, with the release of Mordecai back in 2020, our approach ended up being different. We recorded that album basically in the middle, in really, really short breaks from being on the road. We toured a ton in 2019. So while we were recording that, we were, like I said, on the road. I think at one point we went to go play Coachella, left the barn, went and played Coachella, packed everything back up and went back to the barn to finish a second session. So normally going in, we would have more of a I would say more of a format of what we were going to do when we got there. And there just wasn't as much time this time around. So it changed our approach. And we did a lot more of the creative stuff on the back end, which happened to leave room for a vocalist set because the song sounded incomplete. Well, some of them sounded incomplete without vocals. So
nice.
We went that route.
I feel like, I'm speaking broadly here because, you know, this is just stuff I've seen on the internet. It feels like the Currumbin audience was perhaps a little bit apprehensive when people got wind of vocals appearing on Currumbin albums, but it actually turns out that it's bloody fantastic.
I never got the tomato sauce out of my t-shirt. You know, a lot of people threw tomatoes.
Are you serious? Dude, that's so vintage. I'd be stoked if someone threw vegetables at me. Yeah.
No, like internet tomatoes, NFT tomatoes.
Oh man, internet tomatoes. Yes.
Yeah. It's a great band name, by the way. When people. No one likes change except so the wet true. Baby. I heard that growing up. So I think a lot of our listeners had become accustomed to just listening to these instrumental vibes we're putting out. And that stuff's still there. We haven't completely abandoned it. Mm. It's just that that's what the song needed. I mean, we listen to what the song tells us that it wants. And that's what it was at the time.
Brilliant. Texas Moon comes out here on the 18th, I guess everywhere it sort of releases out and about. Everybody kind of expecting a bit more of a somber record, kind of a bit more feely than the Texas Sun. Is that kind of what we're getting from the night and day situation?
So, yeah, the approach on Texas Moon, honestly, was to bookend Texas Sun. I mean, it was the obvious title to this second release that we had going on. And yeah, our approach, especially if you listen to Leon's vocal, Mark at the time was listening to Blue Moon by Elvis Presley a lot. And if you listen to the vocal, Elvis's vocal on that record has a little slap back delay on the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely influenced the vocal style. Mix style on Texas Moon. So I think that's the common thread. You know, it's one common thread throughout this entire release is that you'll hear that that twangy slapback vocal on Leon's vocal. And it just sounds like nighttime to us.
Nice.
Now, just on the ground in the US, things are starting to open back up. Are you getting out and playing shows as a band? No.
You done any? Playing with Leon or what?
We got back out a little bit at the at the end of last year, in the fall. Leon joined us for one show. We played in his hometown.
Ah, brilliant.
Leon's from Fort Worth, but we played in Dallas, which is about 45 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon popped up and did a guest appearance. And we performed Chocolate Hills. That was the world debut of Chocolate Hills was there in Leon's hometown live for the very first time.
That's
so
awesome, man. Rad.
Yeah, cool. That's always a nerve-wracking experience playing something for the first time.
Yeah.
But it kind of helps when no one else knows the song in the room except the people on stage. So
good test of the song anyway, that's for sure. If you can catch the crowd with it, you know.
Was it just the one number you performed with them, or did you do a complete set of Currumbin and Leon Bridges?
No, we just did we did Chocolate Hills, and we would have gotten real tomatoes thrown at us if we didn't do Texas Sun. So we of course that was the second song we did. That was just those two songs, and it's always really special when that happens. I think it happened when we first got back out on the road. We did a festival in Iowa called Hinterland, and Leon just happened to be playing around the same time as us, and he joined us on stage for that one, and we did a couple of numbers there, and it was really fun.
Excellent. And is the plan for you guys just to tour relentlessly? Because I guess you kind of didn't get to tour off the back of Mordecai, so you're just going to get out and play?
You were kind of due to come to New Zealand, and you were going to play with Tame Impala like ages ago, and this gig has been like rescheduled like a million times. You guys have dropped off that bill, and it's just heartbreaking, to be honest. We were looking forward to that gig. It was like 2 years ago, I think, now, or something like that.
It was extremely heartbreaking. I'm such a fan of Tame Impala, and I was really...
It just felt like the perfect gig, like, nice, good combination.
It was almost too perfect. It was like too perfect to even happen. I mean, it was honestly prophetic in a way, because, you know, Krungman had... We have a song called The Recital That Never Happened, and that's like, you know, that lineup was the recital that never happened to us, but we were so excited to get an opportunity to go over to Australia and New Zealand and support Tame Impala on that run. But, you know, maybe it'll happen again. I don't know.
There'll be another time around, no doubt. No doubt.
I hope so.
Now, obviously, this EP has probably been in the can for a while, and you may or may not have had some time on your hands. Have you guys been looking to do some more pure Krungman music in the studio?
Say it like that.
Pure Krungman.
Give me some more of that.
Pure Krungman.
I want to sing my own songs in the shower. I don't want anyone else singing over my Krungman.
Yeah, I mean, we're always, you know, in the process of, you know, writing and thinking ahead. We don't always talk about what we're doing. We like to keep things under wraps. But there will be another Krungman album at some point.
Cheers, DJ. We'll look forward to when the time is right. We'll see you down in New Zealand sometime, hopefully.
I can't wait. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Cheers, mate.
Kia ora, mate. Go well.
Cheers. Bye.
There you go, Krungman playing Spark Arena Tuesday, the 6th of December. Just announced this morning. Tickets on sale Friday, the 1st of April from Ticketmaster. Kamazi Washington is opening. It's going to be a good one.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.